right. Hey, Angie.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. How's it going?
Today is busy, hectic, but good. When you say, how's it going? It's like, I want to do my stock answer of like, everything's fine, but it's you. So then I'm like, actually kind of hectic.
Yeah. For you on the hectic. And that's what our podcast is all about, right?
Yes. Having someone you can be real with, like everything is not fine.
Yeah. So if we say good, then we call the others bluff.
Yes. How about you? How are you?
Yeah. See, now I just want to, by reflex, say fine, good. But actually, we are pretty good today. It's also busy, but low on the drama scale, I'll say that.
A genuine good. Yeah. A genuine, like, I'm fine today. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So I have been thinking about a particular topic that I wanted to discuss with you, and I'm really excited about it. But before we do, for any listeners out there, if you're out there, Angie and I talked about beginning some of our episodes with some deep breaths. So you want to lead us through some nice?
Yes, let's do that. I think this would be such a good way to start so that if we ever have a listener, they would be like, oh, my friends are there, and just take a minute to check in with your body and kind of relax the muscles in your face, right? And so just for one of those, just like a 30-second check-in, see if you can relax your jaw and just take in a deep breath, feeling your lungs filling up, and then maybe pausing, filled with air, and release. Long, slow exhale, and feeling that release kind of wave through your shoulders and relax your body. So just going with your own breath for your next inhale, noticing the air moving through your nose, maybe hearing a noise in the back of your throat for Ujjayi breath. And when you're ready to exhale, feeling that wave of release moving through your face, your jaw, relaxing your eyeballs, your forehead, just softening. And last, big deep breath at your own pace. Feeling the parts, the inhale, the exhale, the muscles releasing. And just allowing that softness to kind of move through your body and be present as you come back to opening your eyes if your eyes were closed. And allowing that oxygen to your brain, to even the basement of your brain. As we get started for a thoughtful talk.
I love it. Wow. I could just end right there or keep going. It's always Angie that reminds me to breathe. And I can't believe how many times in my day I actually, I just forget to deep breathe. I think it's really natural, but that felt really good. Thank you.
Yeah, just those little things. It's such a good reminder to do that.
Yeah, really is. So yeah, this topic, it is what we have learned as a result of COVID. And just to give kind of a disclaimer and a backstory to this. So I guess I'll start with my disclaimer, and that is, you know, as we kind of have a casual chat over things that we've learned,
yes,
over these COVID times, in no way do I want to sound like, you know, I'm trivializing the great losses that have been had really globally. And so I can only speak for myself in these things, you know, that I've kind of learned and taken away as a result of COVID, but with the realization that there Yeah, it's been an incredibly hard, hard time, and unique to every person in that perhaps trials that will take a very, very long time to recover from. Mm-hmm. Losing loved ones, jobs, of course, and maybe that doesn't need to be said, but I just did want to say it because, you know, each of us are impacted, everyone's impacted, but each is impacted differently. And so I just want to send that out there that these are things that have come to my mind, but I realize, yeah, that this has been a very, very trying time. And I respect that and honor, you know, that struggle globally.
Definitely. And yeah. Part of this topic, I was thinking through all the struggle, I mean, we're going with the question of what have I learned during COVID or what have we learned? And it, I think part of that too, is that through struggle and really, really difficult times, we're still looking for some way that we can be mindful or this could make sense or there could be a lesson here, so that it is hard and it is a struggle. It doesn't mean that it's positive and everything was wonderful, but that there might be some piece of positivity through it all.
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't have to feel completely arbitrary, right? That maybe there are some silver linings or just like you said, something to glean from this time that we wouldn't normally see had this not happened. And so I'll share this quickly and then I'm excited to hear what your thoughts are. But this has to do with what you just said. This lady, I was hearing her talk a few weeks ago and she was talking about another challenging time in her life. I can't even remember what it was, but she was just saying that she's going through this really hard time and she wanted something else to be happening right then. She wanted XYZ. And she said she was so focused on the thing that she wanted that she wasn't realizing what was right under her nose. Uh-huh. And she did, I don't know what caused her to have this mental shift, but she thought to herself, you know what, maybe there are some things happening right now that, like you said, are actually pretty positive in my life that I never could have anticipated had I not been given this specific set of circumstances right now. But she said the takeaway for her was she was so, had she not done that mental, made that mental shift from what she wanted so desperately to what is actually happening right now and what can I take from this, she wouldn't have been able to see those things.
Right.
And so when I heard her describing this, I thought, oh, well, I can totally relate to that because here we are in the times of coronavirus and it's, you know, we've had our own set of challenges, our family, and it's been so natural for me to say, I wanted this time to actually look like this and it's not happening. And it's been hard to let go of those things that I wanted to have happen and that I had pictured happening and envisioned happening for this year in the States because, you know, we have this short time before we go overseas again. So I just thought that was really great. And so it kind of made me want to do that same mental shift and think, huh, well, what's going on in my life that might be right in front of me, but I just can't see it because I'm tightly gripped onto that thing that I want so badly that's not happening. Mm-hmm. So those are my thoughts and I'm excited to hear what you think. So what have you been thinking?
Kind of along those lines, when you mentioned that, I think of expectations and I do relate it a lot to my expectations for this year are different than, or were different than they are, you know, as a result, like what's happening now. This was not my expectation. So it's that, but I feel like I have encountered that a lot of times as an EFM, as we move around the world, having expectations for what things will look like once we move or once we arrive or once we settle in and what that place will be like, maybe has helped me hone that ability to adjust expectations, I guess. So one of the things I wrote down is that nothing is certain and anything is possible. And I think, you know, there are things, and we always kind of think that, like, oh yeah, nothing's certain, like, oh, we don't know for sure. And I think that as an EFM, like, oh, we get our post, but, you know, maybe we won't move there. That's a long way out. Something could change. We have had assignments that we didn't end up arriving at, you know, or, and then yeah, there are other parts of life that I just think, but absolutely this is certain. You know, I thought for sure my son has to take final exams. That's, there's nothing, there's no getting around that. And then he didn't because of coronavirus. So nothing is certain, like it really isn't. And if you had told me, you know, it does make me think anything is possible, because now if you had told me that I could be excited to be in traffic or waiting in line at a grocery store, you know, that just sounds preposterous. And now I, like, the time doesn't bother me because we don't have a schedule, and I see a really long line at the grocery store and everyone's standing 6 feet apart, and I just think, like, oh wow, it's awesome that I'm in a grocery store in America where we have tons of stuff. Like, look, there's magazines here that I can read. And you would never, I couldn't have never thought, like, I would appreciate this, a long line at a grocery store. That would be really fun for me. And especially when we first came out of, you know, quarantine, like lockdown, I was like, ooh, standing in a grocery store feels very exciting. Like, why would, you know, these are things I didn't ever expect in life. So it really has shifted my world. And same, I know I've talked before about like sending my son to college, where normally I would be thinking more maybe fearful thoughts of like, well, what about this, and I'm worried about that. And instead I was just totally excited, like, so great that you get to go, I'm happy for you to move into the dorm. I was just really enthusiastic because it seemed like such a small possibility that came to happen. So yeah, so that is nothing certain and anything is possible is one lesson I've learned. How about you?
I love that it's like wrapped up in one phrase. I love that. Nothing is certain and anything is possible. I'm going to lock that in. Yeah, so one thing for me, this was shared the other day on by Elizabeth Gilbert, who's the author of Eat, Pray, Love and Big Magic, on her Instagram stories. And she was saying that when COVID hit, she was over in Australia and she had this whole year of travel planned. And the more serious things got, the more she realized, oh, this is no joke. I really need to get home. But as things were developing so quickly, she said her anxiety was just through the roof. Uh-huh. And she was even in the airport getting ready to come home, and she said, I nearly had a panic attack. And she said, I just needed to go and sit in a corner and sit down and close my eyes. And she said, and just practice all the things that I have learned up to this time and really put them into play. And so she was just making the point that these times, it's a really good lesson to her of being, practicing being versus doing. Mm-hmm. And that resonated so much because we're so used to doing so much, just filling our days full of running here and dropping this off and grabbing this at the store and kids and so many, you know, we have our to-do lists. And I think when that is taken away, what's left? And that's kind of what happened when quarantine happened. Everything came to a screeching halt. And then what surfaces? It's all of our thoughts. It's all of our emotions that are hard to see when we're constantly on the go.
Yeah.
And so she was saying, you know, this is a really good time to practice being with all those thoughts, with all those emotions. And not that they're going to feel good. They could very well feel not great, but it's given her a chance to bring all those things that she's learned into practice. And I loved that. She said, whatever spiritual practices you have, whatever things that you've learned over your life where moments of peace that you intentionally do to kind of bring yourself that mental clarity and space, she said, this is the time to put those to work. Huh. And so it's just made me curious about how that would look in my life. And because I've definitely been restless, like, what am I doing? Even with my body, you know, usually we're like moving faster, but we have these big gaps in time and pauses. And I mean, it feels like we're getting busier now with school, but definitely in the summer. And so yeah, I liked that reminder that.
Can you do it? Are you being?
I mean, not always, but I think it's definitely been more on my radar than when I'm just going a million miles an hour where mm-hmm. I can't even stop to think that I might be missing something or a deep breath or notice a quick moment with my kid versus just, I don't know, running. So no, I don't think I've achieved being, but definitely more so than I normally would be.
Wow. My next one ties into that. Are you, but I don't want to cut you off.
I'm done with that one.
Okay. Because my second thing that I've learned in coronavirus is that my schedule is not what makes my life chaotic. And that was something I thought for many years, right? So my daughter's 19. For 19 years, I've been a mom. And I just had this idea, and my oldest two are just 15 months apart, so I kind of had them close together, that like the reason my life is chaotic is because I have four kids and because we have all these activities and I'm taking them back and forth to their theater practice and their sports. And, you know, we have Taekwondo and we have meetings and I'm trying to get together with my friends and play dates and they have homework to do. And like the reason that my life is so crazy is because of this outlandish schedule. And I've really, really believed for 19 years about myself, like if we didn't have all this stuff to do and all these appointments, that my house would be clean. I would somehow like be able to make dinners every night and have like a meal plan. I thought I would be more organized. I would have things together. And so this like blew that all out of the water. Like now all of a sudden, you know, especially during major lockdown, we had no schedule. We had no events to go to. I didn't have to drive anyone anywhere. We didn't have to meet anyone. And I guess what, shockingly, I didn't have a lovely dinner on the table every night. My house did not become organized. I did not become an organized person. So that was something that I had to face. Like, it really wasn't the schedule, Angie. That was kind of, it's just who I am. This is how I live my life with like crazy goofiness. So, that I had to kind of admit that to myself.
That's so interesting. So what happened when you admitted it to yourself?
I mean, now I guess it's just, I've been pretty accepting, but it's like you said, this is sort of the opportunity for learning. Like for years, I've been like, oh, accept myself and my flaws and all of that. And then I just was like, you know what? I'm never going to be that person with the organized house and the perfect meal on the table and the organized schedule. I'm always just going to be the person that's like, ooh, everyone, let's like go on a walk right now and forget that we have to have dinner at some point tonight. And now we're all playing a game and now everyone's starving and it's 8 o'clock and I'm just going to put baby carrots out and hope nobody comments.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's so true. Like we just want to place that on something else outside of ourselves. Like, right? Like,
yeah.
No, this is the reason I am the way I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed like such an easy, reasonable reason that everybody could believe.
Yeah. and coronavirus took that away. Now our true colors are coming out. That's cool.
Oh, and I thought I wouldn't get mad. I thought I would, I like the reason that I yell and like have a short temper, or I mean, I guess I don't really have a short temper, but occasionally I do, is because of our crazy schedule. And yeah, that's not true. I'm still not a perfect mom either. I was like, I would definitely be a perfect mom if our schedule was not so crazy.
Totally. That is why I'm angry, is my schedule. I still am believing that, Angie. Oh, that's a good that one.
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. It does. Warm and fuzzy. All right. Well, one of the other ones that I've thought of is just the idea that people really do need people. And it was just interesting to see when the whole world shut down, how we still just reached out to each other. And I've kind of noticed, you know, talked to a lot of people that some people have been quarantining with their families. Some people are, well, now we're seeing, you know, globally, people are seeing each other again at a distance. But, you know, when it was all in quarantine, people were quarantining by themselves and talking to friends that are single. This is a legit struggle to not have physical presence of people in their lives. And even talking to my parents, you know, they haven't been seeing their kids and their grandkids a lot this year, and how hard that's been. And amidst the struggle, it's been interesting to see how people in general, and just us, have had to get really creative with how we connect with people.
Yeah.
And I think that's been really meaningful, because had we not had the chance to explore more ways to be creative, then we wouldn't have gone down that path. You know, normally we would be seeing my parents this year, probably more than once. We'd be seeing my husband's parents. But because we want to be super careful with them, with the ages they're at, we are finding other ways to connect. So my mother-in-law is sending postcards every 2 weeks to the kids, and that's super sweet. And they, you know, we're kind of loving snail mail this year and using it more to connect with people. And my mom has been doing this little Nana school, is what she calls it. And she calls every Monday and has this really informal check-in with each of the kids, and they talk about what they did on the weekend, or what bugs they saw in the yard. And I don't think we would have done that, because we would be waiting for that next vacation to see them. But because we don't have that on the calendar, she thought, well, what if we FaceTime each other and I just have one-on-one time? And I've really appreciated that. Like, that's been actually really meaningful, and probably something we'll keep doing even after this is all over. So I just like that idea that we really need, people need people, and we're going to find ways to connect even if we can't be.
People now are, we have to be really creative about how we connect, and like deliberate, and set up, you know, like those weekly talks instead of the vacation. I think it's shown me how people can come up with like lots of creative ways that we can connect, or taking a class together, or doing a book club, or just feeling like we're reading a book club book together because we discuss it and you're thinking about the other people while you read it, or those kinds of things. But I think, yeah, people need people is so true and valid.
And the option on Netflix, right, that you can watch a movie together. And what is it? Is it video or chat?
I mean, I think my kids are on video watching with each other. If they're watching a scary movie, they have videos of them all gasping at the same time and like crying out.
Yeah.
So it's like they're watching movies together. I mean, I hear my kids laughing and laughing on their video chats with their friends. So
yeah, we find a way.
We find a way.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. What else do you have?
My last point is just like that we literally cannot control the world. Like I, which is so hard to accept. And we always feel like, yeah, I can't control everything, but I can at least control, you know, I'll know what day we're moving and I know what day the movers are going to arrive. And I know what day the last day of school is. And I know, and we just don't know any of it. It's just all out of our control. And because I talk to teens a lot in my work and they're like, oh, my parents grounded me and it's not fair and all of that. And I'm like, but I'm an adult and I'm grounded right now. Like someone just told me you're not allowed to leave your house. And so you think at some point I'll be in charge and I can do whatever I want. And really we just don't have, I mean, we can do whatever we want. We can react however we want to react, but we still cannot control the world. So it's just realizing that everything really is out of our hands.
Yeah. Okay, that was my last one too. So that was meant to be.
Oh, that's funny.
Totally. Like, it's just shown me some very bright lines have been drawn over time between those things I can control and those things I can't.
Yeah.
And I think I've come to the conclusion that the things I can control are not very many things.
Are not very many things. It just gets smaller and smaller. Like as I think, as I grow in mindfulness, I realize more and more, and motherhood does that too. Probably also moving, you know, I just like, wow, you guys are your own people. I can do all the manners lessons that I want. And sometimes things are just going to turn out differently.
Yeah. I know my son often says, if I ask him to do something like, can you take the garbage out? He'll say, but do I have to? And I'm like, well, the honest answer is no. You don't have to do anything because I cannot physically make you do anything. Unfortunately, I do not have control over that. But there will be a consequence if you don't.
Right. Yes.
The fact is, like, we don't. And even just this example of we got our boat shipment this week, our big, huge boat shipment. And, you know, I arrived in the States 6 months ago. So we've been 6 months without the bulk of our stuff.
Right.
Which we've just managed. And because this isn't our first time doing this, you know, I wasn't, you know, losing sleep over the fact that our boat shipment hadn't arrived. But I thought it was a good example of this can control versus can't control, because every time I ask my husband, can you just reach out to someone to see where the boat is? Like, where in the Atlantic is it right now? Can someone on earth tell us that? It was like he really couldn't. I mean, he could, but the amount of just hoops to jump through, and it just wasn't worth it. And so it was kind of one of those things that was just like, you know, when it gets here, it gets here.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff in it that we might not want anyway, but that is constantly playing in our lives too. You know, to go back to the moving aspect, there are certain things around moving that you just cannot control. And that's one of them.
Yeah. And that's probably a good lesson for all of us EFMs. Like, I wonder if we're good at relinquishing that control. Like, oh, I'm not, you know, who knows when I'll have furniture or a house or get settled or when my car will be, or when the documentation will go through that I'm allowed to drive. We're all just like, well, it's all out of our hands. We'll just wait and see.
Exactly. And is it like resignation, or is it like, oh, less things to worry about? Or it's probably a spectrum.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a spectrum. I have a whole nother, I don't want to start a whole new topic because we should probably wrap up, but just one more perspective on that moving stuff. Because we also live for 6 months. And so you can relate to this with like no items. We have very limited items in our house, but we own things, so I know that they will arrive. So we just have mattresses on the floor. We have piles of clothes. We have piles of papers. If you came into my house, it literally looks like less put together than my college apartment. It's just kind of a disaster. And we also have lived like this for 6 months. And I was thinking the other day, this is like one life coach that Annalie and I follow and listen to a lot is Brooke Castillo. And she says, just feeling like you have $1 million in the bank makes you act a certain way. It's not that the $1 million is there. And I thought, I have people into the house, you know, my parents see the house and everyone's like, oh, this is fine, because we know that this isn't long term. But if I actually lived with these items in my house and didn't, you know, all of my things had fallen off the boat somewhere and they're gone, and I realized like I have to live like this for a year, I would probably freak out and try and go buy a lot of things and make everything look nice and pretty. And as it is, we all just accept that it looks like kind of a really junky kind of crack house vibe in my house. And everyone that comes over is like, oh yeah, okay, well, you don't have a set of pans, you just have a few plates, and we have to wash bowls every time we want to have ice cream after dinner because that's all the bowls we have, and that's fine, your table only has three legs. We're all just like, oh well. And it has totally shifted my perspective of living in like this environment is fine with me, because I know the things are there and that one day we won't be living this way.
Yes, it's so true. Like, what if we just woke up and thought, I have $1 million in my bank account?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't see that being super beneficial, because I'd probably just go start spending money. But I totally can get behind what you're saying, that, yeah, your thoughts are with
you. Or maybe you wouldn't spend any money, because it's like me, I'm just like accepting everything as it is, because, well, this is fine. Like, that, you know, that $1 million is there. You're just going to be like, I can do whatever I want whenever I need to. I can
yeah.
things, and then you don't really need anything.
Yeah, like I have what I need, right? Yeah. There for me when I need it, and I can draw on it. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, when really the boat stuff shows up and it's like, well, we were doing just fine. And
right? Now we have actually, to spend, I didn't want any of this.
I know, and now we have to spend 2 months sorting through it, and then it's going to be time to move again.
And it all smells like stale warehouse stuff and blankets. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm excited that you got your shipment, and I will be dismayed when mine arrives probably. Like, it feels fun for other people, but I'm probably be difficult for me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on another tangent, but that is sort of also a coronavirus lesson of just like letting go of time, and because there's no like, when will this be over, which I felt a lot at the beginning, and how long will this temporary, like a temporary situation turns into a long-term kind of thing.
Yeah. And when we're back to normal, whatever that is, quote unquote, who knows if it'll ever, you know, look exactly the same. I think there definitely will be moments where it was like, we were doing really good. Mm-hmm. You know, that was super challenging, but we did really well. Just like when we don't have our boat shipment, you know?
Yes.
We always kind of put that thing out in the future. Like, when this happens, everything's gonna look good again. But the fact is, like, well, I guess we always come back to this, right? The present moment, everything is just fine.
We're okay right now. Yeah. Okay, good talk.
Thanks
for hearing it happen today.
Yeah, me too. I loved hearing your thoughts. Nothing is certain, anything is possible. I'm tucking that one in my pocket.
I'm reminded of that like every 5 minutes, Annalie. I never thought this would happen. Never thought I would be this old and my kids would say this to me.
Anything's possible.
Anything. Oh, good grief. Okay, good talk, everybody. We will see you soon.
Bye-bye.